There's a good principle in life, a great principle when reading the scriptures. If something is repeated, it's important. If your boss repeats himself over and over again, it's probably important. If your parent repeats himself, it's important. You know, when you repeat yourself, it's probably because something's important to you. So when we read the scriptures and there's a concept, a principle, something is repeated over and over and over again, God is saying, hey, listen up, this is important. I want you to really pay attention here. Of course, there's exceptions to that rule. There's a lot of things that scripture doesn't beat up or harp on because, for example, in New Testament times, if something was a cultural norm, you don't need to beat up on people that already accept the truth. So Jesus may or may not have said certain things because, well, the cultural norm was already there. He didn't need to repeat himself. The scriptures, he probably did hit some things, but per the Holy Spirit's guidance, he didn't need to capture it in scripture. Remember, John said at the end of his gospel account, many things were done here. I suppose the whole world couldn't hold the books that were to be written. But if something's repeated, it's important. If something is gone over and over again, it's important. It's interesting when we look at the account of Christ's birth, his coming to earth as this baby. Never in the history of God has he so visibly and outwardly shown up and revealed himself so much. You could argue creation, yes, those 6 days when God is creating, he breathes, he speaks, and it is formed. But now that people are here, these wonderful years that we just read all the scriptures, and God really showed up. This is important stuff, not just 2,000 years ago. But today, so let's quickly go over what happened. We had Zechariah in the temple. He goes in to make a simple offering. He pulls the lot, and there the angel shows up to reveal, to start this ball rolling with John the Baptist. And his wife, who is beyond childbearing ages, who has never had a child before, is going to be pregnant. And that's pretty big. God has been silent for 400 years, and now all of a sudden this priest and the wife, they're going to have a child. And what's the purpose of John the Baptist? To prepare the way for the Lord. But God isn't done. We know that. The angel visits Mary and says, hey, you're going to be with child. Even though you're a virgin, you're going to conceive from the Holy Spirit. And I love her attitudes. Just, I don't understand how physically, semantically that's going to work. But yeah, I'm there. I'm all yours. I'm your servant. Joseph was, well, we'll get to Joseph in a second. But we also have, then she goes to, it's recorded, she goes to Elizabeth. To have this interaction. Remember, John the Baptist, he flips, he kicks in the womb, the Holy Spirit infused baby inside the mother. God is speaking, God is loud. There's a lot of things going on here. Then the angel visits Joseph. He doesn't receive it as quickly. He doesn't reject it, but just, I'm not so sure about this. But when the angel finally visits Joseph, okay, yeah, I'm in. I'll do this. God's alive, God's active, he's speaking, he's working, he's doing all these things that you and I, we can't do, but we're not done yet. It's an infomercial. Wait, there's a whole lot more here I got for you, God says. So the baby is born, and who does God bring in the mix? The shepherds, the visits in the field, just these lowly, ordinary shepherds, but they're faithful. Faithful men, faithful to God. They show up, here, go see this baby, and this wonderful thing. Angels aren't just showing up anywhere for no good reason. They come with a purpose. And so they hear to the shepherds. But God's not done. We got Simeon in the temple. They're waiting. He was promised that he would get to see this, the Christ. Perhaps our Simeon here in the church will not pass until Christ returns. We can debate rapture and all that other stuff later. But how amazing is this? Now we also have now Simeon in the temple when Jesus has come to be presented to the Lord, to be present to have the circumcision at 8 days old, to be given his name. There's Simeon with a promise from God. And there's also Anna, this a wonderful godly woman who's there serving day in, day out, another wonderful person to get to see and witness. Here comes the Messiah. There's just these wonderful, wonderful things. And we know the wise men. These aren't Jews. These aren't Israelites. Why is that important? Well, God didn't just come for the Jews, the Israelites. He came for all people. So he appears to these folks who would, we believe, have knowledge, have context of what the scripture says. This is a start. Here's an important thing. You know, God can speak to you even if you're not a follower of Christ. How else do you know who he is? He has to reveal himself to you. Jesus himself said that the Father is going to draw them to me. So God speaks to us when we're not followers of his. They use the wise men. They come to Jerusalem to find this baby following this star. Lots of things going on. Lots and lots of wonderful things going on this around these first few years when Christ came into this world. But some folks he didn't use. These priests, these scribes, these religious elite, these folks who knew these scriptures backwards, forwards, they arguably knew the Old Testament better than us here. Perhaps Pastor Hazard excluded. But I'm willing to venture to say they know it better than I do. But it's not about intellectual knowledge. Our relationship with God, Christmas is never about having intellectual knowledge. It's faith. It's a relationship. That's why God came here to be Emmanuel, God with us. And God, this isn't a big secret here. God didn't try to, here, let's have Jesus kind of slide in through the back door and slide back out and nobody's going to know. He wanted people to know. That's why he sent John the Baptist ahead. Let people know he's coming. You see, Jesus' birth is important. It's not just important 2,000 years ago. It's important today. We get to be, through faith in him, new creations in Christ. I don't have to sin the same way I do. I choose to. I choose to give into my flesh more than I ought to, and that's the same thing for you all here. But with this wonderful, glorious thing about Jesus, he came here. Like I said, you can look throughout scriptures, but there's nothing else where in this close amount of time where God revealed so much and so little time. This is important. This is great stuff. This is great news that we have here. That we have to share with one another. We have to share. We get to celebrate. And I don't want us to gloss over because it can be easy. And we've been Christian for 10, 15, 20, 50, 80 years. It can be easy to kind of gloss over. No, yeah, that's nice. Yeah, of course a virgin had a baby. No, that doesn't happen. That's not a normal thing. I don't know of any other circumstance in human history where this has happened. God is special. He's brought this special thing here for us. We don't want to lose it. We don't want to miss it. Let's hear a little story from David Platt, a little one-minute video.
I was in another country recently, and I was sitting outside a temple with two other guys, actually from different religions. They were talking about how all three of our religions were fundamentally the same, just kind of superficially different. Finally, I spoke up and I said, it's almost like you guys picture God or whatever you want to call him at the top of a mountain, and we're all at the bottom of a mountain. I may take this path up and you may take this path up, but in the end, we'll all be in the same place. And they smiled and they said, exactly, you understand. I looked back at them and said, well, what if I told you that the God at the top of the mountain didn't wait for us to find our way up to him? He actually came down to where we are. They said, well, that would be great. I said, this is the difference. What we find in the Bible is the story of a God who has not left us alone to try to find our way to him. He has come to us, and he has made the way to himself through Jesus.
Amen. That's the beauty of Christmas. That's the beauty of our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. That God has come down here. He's loved us so much. He sent his one and only Son to die for us. Jesus took on humanity. You know, Jesus, he took on disability to come down here. He limited his godly everything to be like you and I. Well, not exactly like you and I. He could not have sinned, but to have the limitations that you and I have. I don't like it when I get a little sick, right? Right, Rachel? I don't like it when I get sick. I don't do well when I have a little bit of, a little something that's taking me off of whatever advantage I think I do or do not have. But Jesus came down here. He put on flesh because he loved us so, so, so much. So I encourage you, go ahead and share this good news. We have wonderful news. Hey, yeah, we might get rejected because of that. Let them reject our faith. Let them reject God. It's going to happen. But we have wonderful good news. Nothing else is going to save people. There's no other religion where God loved them so much that he chose to come down here, be a baby, come in all these humble means. God hasn't revealed them in such a wonderful way as we have here in scriptures. And so tonight we're going to close out our service. We're going to have the candlelight portion. So at this point, if the ushers want to come forward, we're going to close out with some candlelight. If the Lord's working on your heart, you know what? I need a little time of repentance of whatever, of just time with the Lord. These kneelers, as every Sunday, these are open to you. Or if you want to do it at your seat, if you want to say, no thanks, I appreciate the candlelight, but the Lord and I just need to spend some time with him. Then please take that time right now. But ushers, if you want to come forward, and we'll light the candles. Remember, if your candle is not lit, go ahead and bend it to the one that has the flame. And just go ahead. The ushers will start at each section, and then we will just try to work it around to those around you. If you have kids, feel free. They can get fire. Just watch out for the Rice children with fire. And as we do this, just remember, Jesus is the light of the world. So we want to pass on that light. No, okay. Might be here, you may have never trusted your faith in Christ. You might not have this candle lit in your soul. You may not have, all right, yes, I believe that, yeah, Jesus probably did come here. He might be God, maybe not, probably is. But if you've never placed your faith in him, said, yes, I believe that you came as a baby and you died on the cross for every single sin I have made, every single sin I will make. You lived the perfect life I couldn't. So I can have eternity. I would invite you right now to say, Lord, forgive me. I am a sinner, and thank you so much for dying on the cross for me. I place my faith in you now as Savior. I can't do anything to get myself to heaven. I can't do anything to take even the tiniest sin away, but Lord, you have paid the price in full on the cross. Lord, I trust you. I trust you with everything. I trust you with my heart, with my soul. Lord, make me a new creation. I love you, God.